Right, there's a new American evangelist in town. His name is David Herzog, and he's been mentioned in the Evening Standard, which is not a good sign. Full page, evangelist with a miraculous cash knack of raising cash hits capital. He's a healing evangelist who seems to be, for some reason, interested in money. But
that's why he hit capital.
And basically, it's the sort of thing is, the more money you give, the quicker you're healing.
Wow.
Oh,
Is that a quote from him?
Or it's a quote from the Evening Standard, which never lies.
Sorry.
Talk among yourselves and I'll find you the exact quote.
Rhubarb.
You all right, Howard?
Yes, I'm fine.
Good.
Okay.
Well, I think if you've got to pay cash to get your healing, something's not right.
Yeah.
It's just another little extra corner of mammon, isn't it, really?
Yeah. In one event alone, he raised $55,000, which he said will go towards a $1.4 million ministry centre in Arizona. Mm. Mm. In Singapore last year, a man claimed he had found a gold tooth in his mouth, and Mr. Herzog asked him to show it to the other worshippers. Later, a woman said she'd just lost weight. These are not that interesting, are they? But I know this bloke because he's on God TV. He's on God TV.
Oh, God TV. God TV.
Good thing about money and healing. Early church, Acts chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer. No offense, Simon.
No,
it's not you, don't worry. So, the apostles, early church, there are healings. Healings are not a bad thing. They're a good thing. They're something God can do. It says, when Simon the sorcerer saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability so that everyone whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter's answer was, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart, for I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Then Simon the sorcerer answered, praise the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me. When they testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. So from the very beginning of healing, people are trying to get it so that they can then do it as a job.
He was a professional magician that just wanted more tricks in his armoury.
Mm.
That's in his case. He wasn't interested in healing as such, but more in increasing his influence. Performance, yeah. And so we must wonder about, going back to this story in the newspaper, how much of that is performance, self-gratification from the healer, or how much of it is that they want people to be healed and they have such love for people that they're healed.
I mean, if you look at most of the people that did healings in the Bible, there were people that lived quite poorly, and that's not why they did it. They didn't do it, they didn't live poor lives so they could do good healings. But at the same point, they didn't, as a result of their healings, expect to have anything more than a poor life. So we get Paul saying all his stuff about how I can have to be content in all circumstances. I know what it is to be hungry, I know what it is to be well fed, I know what it is to be poor, I know what it is to be rich. And so we see that's the basic standard. If someone wants to work for God, they've got to be content with nothing. So we see that with Paul, he did healings, and as did the early church, but they also lived in a very blessed in an earthly sense life. That's not why they could do healings or necessarily integral to it, but you can tell they were happy to heal and didn't expect anything at all and were happy to live. Paul does also talk about how he does want churches to support his ministry and stuff like that, but that's very different to doing it in exchange for a specific miracle for an individual.
Jesus had a very definite things to say about wealth, didn't he? Because when a very wealthy young man came to him and said, can you tell me how to enter the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God? And he said, go away and give away all that you have.
Mm.
And the man just could not do it. He just could not part with all his wealth and everything. He wasn't able to give that up. But there's lots of statements about if you're poor in some sort of way. I think revival happens. we think in places where people have absolutely nothing and they are able to get close to God because of the lack of materialism in their lives.
Also talks about out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You cannot, he who has two masters, you cannot love one master.
Right.
You'll either love, sorry, you'll either love one master or hate the other. You cannot love both God and money. And so it doesn't mean that money's evil.
But what he is saying is that you pay for your healing, and the more money you pay, the quicker your healing. I mean,
can't find that.
Is it a misquote? I mean, is he being misquoted?
Is this the paper trying to slam someone?
Are they got hold of something and they're twisting it slightly?
I think it was actually me making it up.
No, you wouldn't do that.
No, you read it as well. I can't find it. I can't find it.
No, I did read it. The more you give, bigger your healing.
Oh, okay. One blogger.
Here we go.
It says one blogger wrote in brackets, Herzog said, the more we gave, the more God would pour out his glory and perform miracles.
So right. A blogger
that's a little
said
bit
that.
Different a blogger, than saying if you pay me more money, your healing will be quicker. It's all to do with giving. If you give more, you'll receive more. It's the
prosperity multiplication
teaching
the
prosperity gospel, basically. Yeah. Another is keeps on coming back.
I tell you what,
Maria
and I were laughing at this because this is so unbelievable. It's the same bloke, right, David Herzog, who's, where is he, in the O2 or something? You know, millions of people are going to be seeing him. There's a show in America.
Billions.
There's a show in America where he was interviewed, and the show also reenacts a miraculous testimony of a woman and her family as God supernaturally allowed a horse trailer to pass directly through their van with no one being touched.
It's somewhat far-fetched, isn't it?
I mean...
It's obviously...
I don't quite get what the context of it is.
The horse trailer passed
through a van with no one
van
being touched.
And nobody got hurt.
Through it, like invisible, you know, like Superman type stuff.
Okay.
Why? Well, in the natural, that could never ever happen. They'd be killed, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
What they're saying there is obviously it's questionable. Supernaturally,
it's just saying
this trailer
God
went
does,
straight
does
through the vehicle.
God does magic tricks.
What was the point of it?
I feel quite sick.
Oh, no.
It's ridiculous.
It's
absolutely pointless.
Yeah.
It's like match this trick.
Yeah. Right.
Let's see what
I don't
can
know.
Do.
It's weird, but this is the same movement that produces Todd Bentley and his ilk. That
what does it say in the Bible about God not being mocked?
Throughout.
There's a verse, isn't there? There is one specific one, isn't there, that says...
We have a problem then, going back to healing then, is how many of us have seen a healing? A supernatural healing?
I have.
You have? Right, it was yours then.
Yeah, a guy, he went forward for prayer. He had one leg shorter than the other, and it was quite evident because of the way he was walking.
It wasn't the way of standing, then.
No, the way he walked. Yeah. And the evangelist, he had him sit on a chair in front of him, and as he prayed for him, that leg grew to the length of the other one.
You saw it?
Yes.
He wasn't just stretching his leg?
No. And when he walked back to his seat, obviously one of his trouser legs was higher than the other trouser. So it was evident that, you know, it could not
he
have
didn't
been...
He just make one part of his trouser shrink.
Yeah, that would be a miracle as well.
But that was...
So what, in the context, was it a normal church service or was it one of these missions?
It was evangelistic. It was in America. It was an evangelistic meeting. But I did actually see that.
Yeah, I did actually see that. And did everyone go wild?
Well, everybody, obviously, some looked sceptical. Mm. Some that were closer could see, you know, as I was seeing.
Yeah.
And I think you have to see something like that to believe it.
Right. Okay. So what about yours?
That was our son Simon.
That wasn't. No, it's Phil. The Verrucas.
Oh no, and him. When he had a temperature.
Oh, with Afonso.
And Afonso came in and was chatting and just said, God wants me to go and pray for him, and you had a fever and you were lying there fast asleep, all hot with temperature, and he prayed over you.
A lot of that
and within
was
2 minutes.
Placebo.
Yep, you were.
You were not even aware of what was going on.
I was within two minutes.
Yeah. Within 2 minutes, he was up and playing and up, running up and down the stairs as if nothing was wrong. The fever had left him. It had gone.
So. In fact, a life of miracles, actually.
Yeah, the first, absolutely.
He used to pray over his fridge when it was to run out of food.
Oh, did it?
Right.
One of the first
miracles. Well, he had things.
Thanks for that.
In Angola, where he came from.
One of the first miracles Jesus did was for Peter's mother, and it was for a fever, which left her, and she went and started waiting on him. So, fevers aren't uncommon.
I found this part with Mr. Herzog claims that the more people give, the more healings and miracles they will receive. So when you like how I see that is manipulation and trying to psych people up. You give me more of your money. That's if this newspaper printout is
well, that's, I mean,
factual.
It's interesting to see on YouTube, what's his name? Jim Baker, who was really at the heart of a lot of the beginning of a lot of the prosperity gospel TV stuff in America, ended up in prison for a few years as a result of various cons he did, you know, the huge ministry built up with huge amounts of money. He has now rejected it all and has said what a total lie the whole prosperity movement is. And said the basic thing is they'll say, Jesus loves you and he wants you rich. You know, that is the basic, you know, because people are drawn to that. Oh, well, he thinks Jesus loves me. Therefore, you know, everything else he says attaches to that is also true. Very simple, but I mean, that's at the heart of it, basically.
It's interesting here in this article, it says David Herzog, which is talking about a modern Simon the Sorcerer. It's quite interesting, is what the Louise example that he gave.
Yeah.
Is because it's basically it's Gnosticism.
Yeah.
It's this idea of
what's
some people.
Gnosticism?
It's like people having.
Secret knowledge.
Yeah, sort of a deeper insight that no one else has. It's like God has favoured them above anyone else. And there's, you know, a lot of these people around. Now, I've read about him and I've seen the YouTube of him with his gold dust.
Well, that was
speaks.
A whole movement a few years gold, back,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I never got
lots
any.
Of people got
no, gold dust.
Just falling gold dust.
While he's praying, his gold dust appears and it's part of his
gold
ministry.
Teeth and all that.
He sees it's evidence that God is there. But, you know, why can gold... One, number one, you can't conjure up God. Number two, God doesn't appear as gold dust.
No.
But people will believe anything they want to believe.
Yeah,
you know.
I think where I always think back to is Jesus was the biggest healer and he didn't have gold dust on his hands. He didn't ask for money. He didn't have to manipulate or control in any way, shape
or
form.
Healed.
He healed freely.
Yeah.
He healed freely, and we should be able to receive freely.
So this man has got loads more, has got all this money. He's going to build this huge tent where he can preach.
1.6 million.
So he's got this huge centre he's building that he can then preach to people about, give me more money.
Yeah, so he can build a few more centres.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find it, but there's a bit. One of the really interesting ones about him, Jesus heals someone. That person then gets brought up in front of the Jewish Pharisees, who says, no, I have always been born like this, blah, 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 blah. But interestingly, Jesus then finds him later on in the temple to explain who he is. You see, the fact that Jesus had healed him wasn't the reason Jesus healed him. No. Jesus had to chase after him because he knew that if he only had decent legs and didn't know who the Messiah was, that was a healing wasted. He chased after him, as it were, chases a... You know, he looked for him in the temple later on in the day and he said to him, do you know the Messiah? And he says, I'd like to. Who is he? And he said, it's me. I am the one who healed you. And so when Jesus healed people, he did it so that they could realise who he was. It was almost the having the legs came second to realising who the Messiah was. And so with all this, with the healing stuff, healing is not bad and it's not wrong, but it is there to point to the fact that Jesus is Lord and what he's done.
And also,
healing
some
for the sake
healing
of healing.
He did, you know, is only messianic.
Messianic healing.
It's messianic healing, like leprosy stuff. only the Messiah could actually heal those things, right. things like that.
Yeah,
and the dumb man who had a demon,
right? Yeah.
Only because he couldn't call out the name of the demon. So that's another one that only the Messiah could do as well. Which is, as Louis said, it just proves that the healer, it's all about the healer, not the healing.
Yeah,
you know. He was the only one that could have done that, therefore he must have been the Messiah.
We've got to remember, Paul had a thorn in his side. We don't know if it was a physical thing or if it wasn't, but what we can definitely get from that is that God said to him, look, I'm keeping this thorn in your side. I'm not going to take it away. Now, it might not have been a physical ailment, we don't know, but we see that God didn't necessarily remove people's hardships. Sometimes he kept them there and said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness.
Maybe that's why Trophimus was left behind sick.
Quite possibly. Yeah. Quite possibly.
2 Timothy 4.
And not all healing is about physical healing, is it? Mm. And not all illness is about the physical problem. It's maybe about a mental problem or a spiritual problem.
Well, interestingly, with the guy that was demon possessed that was chained to the walls and kept breaking chains, it says that when he was healed and the demon left him, he went into his right mind. That doesn't mean that people that have mental deficiencies were possessed or anything like that, but we do see that there was this interesting link with this particular man in terms of his thought patterns as well as his sort of demon stuff. But the most important thing about healings is no prophet can support or mission person can support his Christian walk by the fact that he's done healings. You can support by other things. You don't need to take it out. But, you know, Matthew 7:21-23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.
Are you saying that they actually performed those things?
Well, there is this,
but not with God's permission.
It's the difference between, I think there's a difference between experiencing or having some awareness of the power of God. That is very different to knowing God, you know, which is why Jesus, after healing someone, still had to chase after him and explain who he is. Because, yes, he'd experienced some kind of spiritual power through Jesus' ministry, but he hadn't realized who Jesus is. And so as a result of that, that the fact that he had working legs didn't really matter in
so every healing through the name of Jesus that has to be for a purpose. It has to involve.
It should point to Jesus as the ultimate saviour from God's anger. You know, it's ultimately about the cross. It's all to
isn't
back
there
up.
There's a danger there that if someone isn't healed, then people can blame Jesus for not healing.
Well, I think that's where the healing process is not always about the physical ailment. Yeah. Sometimes about the spirit or the mind of the person. Is what ultimately needs healing.
And
the ultimate healing is to be saved and salvation. That is the biggest healing any of us have, isn't it?
People, we don't need a comfortable ride to hell. Do you know what I mean? It's better to have an uncomfortable time on earth and meet with Christ.
It's not always to do with us. Sometimes it's to do with just the world.
Yeah.
It's the fallen place we live in is why we have an ailment.
So he can give a healing to one person so that someone else who watches that can be spiritually healed. Because they've witnessed the healing.
Yeah.
And it's proved it to them that Jesus is Lord.
I think there's probably as many different reasons for healing as we could think of, really.
I mean, some people,
and more.
There was one person, there was the beggar in the very beginning, a bit of Acts, that said, why is this man ill? Was it because of something his family did? And he said, no, it's to show that God is God, basically. There was someone who was sick to give Jesus an opportunity to show his glory. It doesn't mean everyone is sick so that God can heal them and show his glory. That's just that person. Another person is told, by your faith you have been healed. Mm. Another person, like the lame person Jesus found in the temple late on the day, was healed and then had faith. So it's not simple.
That's what makes it interesting, because it's, as you say, it's not simple. But today, everything is down to programs, and they put adverts up saying, "You shall see healings. God will be. You shall see miracles. Come to this conference."
Mm.
What happens if God decides that there's not going to be healings or miracles?
And also, what right does anyone say to claim that God is there when it is only by the Spirit of God that they can even do anything?
And there are occasions where people have been, you know, told stop taking your tablets and all of this.
I know.
And they've died. And I mean, it's happened.
Yeah, yeah. They don't get reported though, do they?
No.
Not by the ministries. Anyway.
I think you have to be really more aware that is it that they are trying to exalt Jesus and like not by might, not by power, by my spirit, saith the Lord, and by Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can work any miracle and any healing, or is it that look what I can do? And I think this is the sad thing because. Let's face it, there are many sick people out there, like in the Bible days, you know, there were many, many sick. And as it says, Jesus healed many, many sick and cast out demons and they lived totally different lives. But then, as I'm saying, is it the fact that, look what Jesus can do or look what I can do, and it is a money racket, because this is the whole thing of it is... Is it Jesus or is it money?
There's a guy called Tim Conway was talking about people experiencing the Spirit and saying, well, what about people that claim to fall over, all that sort of thing. He read something written in like 1700s about Jonathan Edwards' wife who, when she was praying once, she said she fell over. But as you read it, you see that though she was experiencing the Spirit, what she was doing was glorifying Jesus and the Father. And he said, those that glorify the Spirit points to Jesus and the Father. Many who claim to have the Spirit are glorifying the Spirit. Does that make sense? The Spirit points to Jesus and the Father. If through something you don't know anything more and you haven't found out through, reading the Word or having the Word said at the event who Jesus is and who God is, if it's all just been about the Spirit doing his thing and look at the Spirit, that is not the Spirit's job. The Spirit's job was to make the Father and to make the power of Jesus known, not to just sort of float around as an obscure healing entity. Does that make sense? It testifies to Jesus, and that's what the Spirit should do.
When there's people on their stage and they're sort of saying, be healed in the name of Jesus, and they, when they point up to say God did it, when they're pointing up, three fingers are pointing to them.
One finger up, three to them.
So that's the real motivation.
Do you think we're in this age now then that these big crusades are always publicised as healing crusades and healing missions because it's the most attractive thing for people because it is going to attract a big crowd. Because the thing that most people want most of all is to be free of pain.
And to be not sick and not have an illness. People not interested in salvation.
Now, Billy Graham,
isn't it?
Crusades. Yeah. I mean, I don't remember them being healing crusades, were they?
I'll tell you what, it just suddenly struck me on a practical area of this. We are living in the biggest generation ever, which is the baby boom era, my lot.
By big, you mean fat.
No, not talking about your lot, talking about my lot. and they're gradually getting older and older, and there's going to be more and more illness,
starting to worry about
older people. So it's a very ripe harvest area for these convents.
Why is everything always about baby boomers? I mean, like we're the most important people ever.
Well, it's not important. They're just the largest generation ever, and they're getting older and older.
And so people will market to a large.
I know.
Yeah. I think people have always.
But everyone's going to them, not just that generation. Yeah, you've got young people who are worried.
It's a bit of a captive audience, though.
They're going to attract a bigger crowd, aren't they?
Yeah.
Through offering healing than anything else.
Yeah.
Come and hear the truth, get salvation.
It's pain relief, but using spiritual.
Yeah. I think the gospel has become a lot focused about what God can do between now and death, and not enough on what God can do after death. Yeah. And so, as people have become more, especially with evolutionary theory, people have been more focused about what's going on in their life here. And as a result, the church, very wrongly and very foolishly, has done the exact opposite of what Jesus did and done exactly the same and focused primarily on what's going on between now and death, which is why you have healings, wealth, prosperity. Those things are the big things. Mm. Whereas what we should be focusing on is, yes, we should help people. Yes, we should expect healings to an extent and that sort of thing.
Focused on it. It's not the whole church. It's just these people. And they're using it to get money.
I think a large amount of them tend to dominate. You'll hear more. If you think about it, if you take an average spread of, say, especially American Christianity, if you take the average spread across either TV channels or whatever, you will hear more about what God can do between now and death than what God has done to save us from eternal death. Yeah. Yeah, and I think as we've noticed that people are more interested in what they need now, the Christians have done exactly the same and turned their gospel into something that can make you happy for
because
now.
What happens after death has become controversial in that not all Christians believe in hell anymore.
Yeah, or even in heaven,
and that's not going
to
pull people in. So instead, they pull people in on something in their mortal lives that is relevant to them. Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of us have experienced that when we are unwell and really sick, that is when we start to look to God and we ask, we have to depend on him and trust in him. When everything is going well, I mean, I think, you know, it's said a lot nowadays, you know, that we talk about a lot in church, you know, that if you're well, if everything's going fine, you know, you can sideline God, really, can't you? You just, not read your Bible, everything's going very well. And it's when things are going really bad and you're feeling low and you turn to your Bible and you start turning to God. And I think with the healing ministries, it's kind of have a negative effect on people, isn't it? Because if you are healed, if that's your main focus is that you want to be feel well and everything, you're not going to be dependent on God, are you? You're not going to feel that you need him. I think through suffering, it does make us sort of grow closer to God in a way. Do you know what I mean?
How much does some of the healing ministries sound like this or not like this, which is 2 Corinthians 12, what Paul says, verse 7, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, talking about what is heard and what's been going on in the churches. There was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. What that is, we don't know, we can't speculate, but it's obviously not something pleasant. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, does it sound like this? Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That is very different to make me well and give me money.
Exactly.
Yeah. God uses us in our weakness.
Because it's dependency, isn't it? It's trust. It brings out not your self-reliance, not your own abilities, not your own strength. When you don't have that, that is when you realise that, you know, God is the supplier of everything, is our redeemer and strengthener. And
there's a testimony on their website, just going back to that ministry.
Hertzog
thing. A girl saying, okay, I went to one of your meetings. I was thinking about how much money I should give in the donation. I decided to give no more than $20. When I got there, a voice told me in my head to give $50 out of all, which is everything I had. So when I took the money out, you said, when you give, this is talk about David Hertzog, when you give, throw it up in the air, the money, and say, I expect it to return double. And I did just that. And about 2 weeks had gone, maybe a bit longer, and I'd forgotten about it. And then one day, I went into my pocket, and a $50 bill had changed to 2 $50 bills. And thank you, Jesus. I'm just saying.
But can you see how... It's
superstition
is,
and...
But also, on top of that, does this person know Christ?
Yeah. What Jesus is about?
No,
is
that
Jesus
exactly.
that doubles your money? That's what Jesus does. Doubles your money.
Huey Green.
Yeah.
Any of the holy person.
That's not the legacy Jesus wanted to live. No. If you give to me,
what I'm saying is on the website they have 3 testimonies, and that's one of them.
Right.
So
yeah.
That's obviously what they see as an important thing.
It's another one that is questionable, isn't it?
That's
doesn't
real
it appeal to our greed?
Mm.
Yeah.
It really does, doesn't it? It appeals to that basic greedy instinct of man, doesn't
love
it?
Greed channel.
Yeah. I love both God and money.
Especially now with the recession, when you look at all these appeals on certain TV channels, it's like, give your recession-proof donation and get your recession-proof thousand-fold thing.
It's testing God. Now, I know there's abiding and you know, and there is a sense when, you know, if things are tough, that's not an excuse. But then there is going overboard to the point of going, right, I'm going to put myself in absolute super poverty. I'm going to, there is a limit where you start to go into the realms of trying to force God to do something, as opposed to...
And the thing is, your reason for giving shouldn't be for what you're going to get back.
Yeah.
Well, that's a basic principle, isn't it? Mm.
Well, I'll give this one. But it's not their basic principle.
No,
their basic principle is the exact opposite.
Absolutely. Mm.
Is that's that, where it's wrong, though, because when you think about it, it doesn't matter what you give to God, it doesn't put his arm up his back. Yeah. You know, you don't sort of have deals with God.
That's right.
You just think to yourself, well, okay, Lord, if you're going to heal me, you're going to heal me. And we can't get away from the fact that God still does heal today.
Absolutely.
And he wants to heal today. But the sad thing is, some of these people, they're cashing in on the, literally cashing in on that financial side, which is sad. It devalues. Mm. When you think about it, it devalues what the Lord is doing.
We just to give you the opposite end of the coin, we've got some really good testimonies from a meeting we went to last night. Should we mention? Yeah, it's Julia Fisher. And what's the name of the fund?
The Olive Tree Reconciliation Fund.
Yeah, and she gave some testimonies of what's happening in Israel among Arab believers and Jewish believers. And she mentioned one particular evangelist who was the son of... and the Ethiopian, one of the Falashas that came over in the 80s. Yeah. His father was already he was a Jewish Christian already before he came over. And since he came to Israel, I think he's planted like 5 congregations of Ethiopians. And it's all growing. It's fantastic. Mm. But his son, according to Judy, is like the most incredible evangelist she's ever met. And he's got this real healing aspect to his evangelism. And she gave a few stories. And one of them was, getting on the bus, he goes on buses where the buses are full of Orthodox Jews, and so he's on there, and this is a black bloke, you know. Right. So there's a lot, the Orthodox Jews, the last thing you want to sort of come on the bus, and he starts. Does he start preaching, or does he simply say he doesn't?
Says, anyone sick here? And they all put up their hands, and they all tell him their ailments, and he goes from one to the other. Healing, praying.
We're talking about instantaneous healing.
And they are healed. Yeah. And he says he does it for as long as he can until he's thrown off the bus. And then he gets on another bus and starts again.
Absolutely fearless. And it's one testimony which is interesting.
Does he proclaim the gospel like, as part of that? Yeah. Or explain who
it's
it is?
It's all in the name of Jesus. Yeah, absolutely.
I was going to say, because if he just says, it's be not healed, magic, and then you just sort of disappear. Sort of like
so he's an evangelist first.
Right.
And the healing is the part of, is how, because with Jews and Muslims, people like that, you need miracles along with the word, I think, in order to get through to them. Anyway, this great testimony, he was in the army and he's a sergeant and he's working at a checkpoint, one of these,
Ramallah
or something like that. And he had these two younger soldiers working with him. They all got their rifles out and whatever. Car draws up, obviously a couple of Arabs inside it, and they were shouting at each other. Something that was going on
in
that
car. It's a taxi driver with a passenger in the back.
Was it a taxi driver?
And he was shouting at his passenger, and he was shouting back, and he's shouting. Yeah. And things were getting quite heated because the two soldiers at the checkpoint are getting a bit worried about why they're shouting. Yeah. Why are they getting so excited and agitated? And obviously, you know that sometimes people do get agitated if they are about to do something really bad. And but this young man, he as the sergeant,
remember, this is the evangelist, it's the same bloke.
He thought, he felt drawn to sort this out, and he put his gun down, which is unheard of. So he put his gun down, told the two younger soldiers to move aside, and he went up and he spoke a little bit of Arabic, and he addressed the driver and he said, "Why are you shouting at your passenger?" And he said, "Because he's deaf." So he said to the driver, "Ask him if he wants to hear." And of course, you know, he looked at him as if he was mad, but he asked him whether he wanted to be to hear. And of course, the passenger said, "Yes, of course I want to hear." So the soldier, the son of the evangelist, he prayed for him, and he was instantly healed.
In the name of the Messiah.
In the name of the the God of Israel, and he said, go back to where you've come from and say that the God of Israel has healed you. Yeah. And that's just a testimony that we heard yesterday that was told to her, you know.
Can we see what these healings are testifying to as well? Yeah. Right. These healings are testifying for free as to who Jesus is. And that's very different to testifying the power of the Spirit in response to and as a result of money. Yeah. You see the difference between
having that happen on a one-to-one basis and actually seeing it in a real ordinary situation, it's going to be a better witness than being in a great big hall with a dodgy bloke up front who you think, even if you see something happening, you're still not sure if it's not a magic trick or whatever. There's got to be a difference. Yeah. You know, the personal approach is in proper situation than a manufactured thing in the stadium.
We're not saying that huge assemblies are a bad thing.
No, of course not.
Because, you know, Heaven you've had an experience of a huge assembly with, like, John Wimber and the wave of the Holy Spirit coming across, you know.
That's another story.
Excuse me, I was dealt with
okay. that. Okay, so, all right. But no, Steve was... No, listen.
I agree.
But Steve, your experience of that was a positive thing because it stirred up many things there that were not right.
And mine was a very negative one.
Oh, right, okay. Maybe we'll keep that one.
But as someone said earlier, that God uses them despite themselves. Was it you? Was it you?
I love it when they say that it's true. Yes. Despite us, not
it's a dangerous...
Well, it's personal, though, you know. Yeah. I mean, you know, I know there's some extremes going on with this. Yeah. But I've had positive things from me. Mm. Just as you've probably had positive things from the John Wimber thing. Yeah. Yeah. I saw people crawling around barking like animals.
What, most of them?
No, at John Wimber, making animal noises.
And I remember you and I went to Maurice Cirillo thing once, and it was like bedlam.
It was, I was saying, it was like screeching, I know.
Oh, dear.
That was a long time ago.
I think ultimately, you've got to test it by the Scripture, haven't you? Sword of the Spirit.
Wembley.
With old curly footballer.
Let's not go down there.
And I think big stadiums may work, but it's all got to be tested by Scripture. It's all got to be tested as to what it's glorifying. And ultimately, if it doesn't glorify who Jesus is, then it's probably not going to have much of a point. If you don't get Jesus either before, during or after, if you just get either more money or less money, then that healing was pointless and wasn't probably of any... God wasn't in it.
Assemblies can't be bad because we wouldn't have Pentecost. I mean, Shavuot. Pentecost was a crowd of people, wasn't it?
And heaven is going to be a great multitude no one could count. Big assemblies aren't a bad thing, but I think at the moment our attempt at big assemblies aren't always working. If you listen to these,
it's the motive,
When you think what the Scripture says, signs and wonders will follow the preaching of his word. Follow.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think the sad thing is that people are just literally going, they're not worrying about the word that's being preached.
No.
They're not worrying about where the preacher's coming from. And it is. They're literally going for the signs and wonders, not to listen to the words. And let's face it, it's the truth of the word that will set us free too. So we can get healed just by understanding something of the word of God's. But I think we forget it's signs and wonders following the preaching of the words.
Yeah, whereas it's an evil generation that seeks signs and wonders.
Yeah, they just want signs and wonders with effort.
That's right,
they don't want any efforts. No. Come to me, let me have it all for nothing.
Do we actually need someone else to pray for us to get healing? Because I remember reading Derek Prince's little booklet of God's Medicine Bottle, and when he was in hospital with all his skin problems, I think all over his body he had... dermatitis. No, Derek Prince. I've got it there. God's Medicine Bottle, it's called. And it was when he was reading all through the Scriptures, and as he was reading, he revelation about the truth in the Bible, and healing took place in his body. He was totally healed from just reading the Scriptures.
Think of Job. I don't think his friends prayed for him. Do you? Or his wife?
Yeah, so, his wife told him to curse.
She said, curse God and die. Yeah. You know, so you know that the Lord can just heal us And obviously you can bet your life that Job was saying, you know, please heal me, because he was a righteous man.
Yeah, I mean, it might sound a bit strange, this testimony, but at the time of the CRE exhibition, you know, I knew I'd be travelling every day. And a couple of days beforehand, I got all these bites down my legs. And normally, you know, all these swellings and I have to have antibiotics. I thought, no, I really can't go through all that. And I prayed over these bites down my leg every day, several times a day. And I kept praying over them and they just disappeared.
Yeah.
They disappeared. They healed up and disappeared. And I was fit and well for the exhibition. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, normally that, you know, I'd have to...
Okay. We're coming to an end. Has someone got a final word on the matter?
Well, it's a complicated issue, isn't it?
Well, I think we've got three types of things here. We've got these organisations that charge money for so-called healings. You've got genuine healings. And you know, do you have healings that are of a demonic nature as well? You haven't mentioned that.
Yeah, you can.
Which normally you pay a price further down the line.
Mm. Ultimately, if a healing is a healing, it should testify that you need Jesus. And anything else, if it doesn't bring that in, is pointless. And ultimately, as we see with Paul, strength in his weakness, he actually would rather be in that weakened position to glorify Christ than be the strengthened position that everyone else is seeking for, which is a healthy body. And ultimately, healings need to be seen as their right perspective, in that actually, if we've met with God and if we know who Jesus is, then actually we'd be more bowled over the fact that we have 100 million squillion years with God sorted, much more than we've got, another 10, 15 years with better legs. Do you know what I mean? Healings have to be seen in their perspective. They're not a bad thing, they're not a wrong thing, but they're always to testify to the fact that Jesus has saved you from the penalty of your sin. If it doesn't do that, if it's just about you being able to get double the money you gave or to have a better sort of healthy life, that's not what it's there for. It's there to testify to what Jesus did on the cross.